we'll pick up where we were in a couple minutes. But the Lord kind of spoke this to me this morning, and I wanted to say a few words about Peter, a few more. We were talking about him last week. I don't know, some people got the idea we were throwing Peter under the bus, and we might have a little bit. But Peter, he bless his heart, he, you know, we love the man. He left us a lot of examples and things in Scripture. And in Matthew 17, I'm going to read the first five verses. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. So Peter, James, and John were prominent of the apostles. And Jesus, in verse 2, was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Moses representative of the law, and Elias of the prophets. Then answered Peter, he's always got something to say, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Hear ye Jesus. Where's your focus? Come on, guys. Peter, hear ye him. Go to, let me get this right, 2 Peter, the first chapter. Peter, some have said to me that Peter told Luke what to write because he couldn't write. Well, that's not true. Peter wrote two epistles to us. Now, Luke got information from Peter that he put in the book of Luke, a lot of it was what Peter told Luke. Because remember, Luke was a Gentile. He was from Antioch, Syria. He was instructed by the Apostle Paul, and he knew Paul's gospel. And if he didn't know Paul's gospel, who taught the Philippians there in Philippi Paul's gospel for the 6 years that Peter was, or that Luke was there? It was Luke. Paul visited a few times, and so did some of the other apostles, but they got most of their teaching and, you know, was digging in and going through stuff in the scriptures from Luke. And I hope we realize that, you know. Think about it, and it'll make sense to you. Did you get over to 2 Peter? Okay, well, Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, we'll start in verse 15. Peter is writing this because Peter did hear the Lord. Peter did learn to listen, okay? And he did learn to receive what the Lord had for him, but it took the power of the Holy Ghost for him to fully get it. Same with all of us. Moreover, in verse 15, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we were made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's an understatement, but he was an eyewitness of the majesty of Jesus. He spent 3.5 years following him. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And that's what we read there in Matthew 17. Go on here one little bit further. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." One more, we'll read the rest of it. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now go back to Luke 22 and we'll catch up with our thinking where we were last week. Peter had heard God tell him, "This is my beloved Son," speaking of Jesus, "in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Well, there's a lot of things that Jesus said that are recorded in your scriptures, in the gospel records. And let's see. I think I had you turn to Luke 22. Well, in Luke 22, and we're basically in verses 50 through 53 today. And it says there in Luke 22, "One of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." We learned last week that one of them that did this was Peter. And the guy's ear that was cut off was named Malchus, a servant of the high priest. But what are ears used for? Hearing, right? What are we supposed to hear? Hear ye him. Well, Jesus healed Malchus's ear. And how many times in Scripture do we read phrases like, "Hear ye him"? You know, there's quite a few times. And we'll talk about that here a little bit. So the point of this was that there was a healing took place here. And Peter witnessed this. We talked about that. And we'll get into that a little further today. Peter, after the Holy Ghost came upon him, he was used of the Lord to do many miracles. But it was the Lord that did the miracles. And it was a familiar thing with Peter for him to preach and thousands get saved. Every time somebody gets saved, it's a miracle. And let's go to, I think we're here in Acts, the 4th chapter. In my thinking here, as we talked a little bit and reviewed some more of Peter and things that were prominent in his ministry. And we read this last week. I want to start in verse 7 again. And Peter and the apostles had been arrested, and they were taken before the Sanhedrin council. And it says in Acts 4:7, "And When they set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Peter, he's our spokesman guy for the apostles all the time. It says, "And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. Let's go down to verse 21. So when they, the Sanhedrin, had further threatened them, the apostles, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Go over to Acts 5, it's right next door there in your Bible, and we find the answer to the prayer that was just spoken there in Acts 4, 29 and 30. Here in Acts 5, 12. And it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter," that shadow of Peter, yes, "passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." How many miracles was that? How many miracles in Scripture can be attributed to the ministry of Peter? I don't think we can put a number on it. And Go to Acts 9. And we've just scratched the surface in answering these kind of questions of how many miracles are attributed to Peter. In Acts 9, starting in verse 32, this was after Saul of Tarsus was saved. Acts 9:32, and it came to pass as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Ananias, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. How many more miracles is that? You can't really count it because we don't know. Acts 9:36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning unto the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And this was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. How many more miracles is that attributed to Peter? So, what does all of this have to do with our verse that we're going to read here now, Luke 22:51, where it says, and this is concerning the healing of Malchus's ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far? And he touched his ear and healed him. Had Jesus not healed Malchus's severed ear here, it is quite possible that Peter would have been arrested for the attack, and thus diverting the attention away from our compassionate Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who had come into this world to be the main focal point from the eternities past. The just one, the one by whom all things consist, who came into this world not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many, to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Those scriptures I just read are found in Matthew 20:28, in Mark 10:45, and 1 Timothy 1:16. That's Matthew 20:28, Mark 10:45, and 1 Timothy 1:16. So the Cliff Notes short version is, by healing Malchus's severed ear, Jesus took the attention away from Peter and placed it squarely upon himself, where it should have been in the first place. Hear ye him, Peter, hear ye him. Peter, where's your focus, buddy? You know, it's not on you, You hear him, okay? And so we've also shown here in the last couple weeks and this morning that Peter truly learned that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who did no sin, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, whom God raised from the dead, were these many miracles attributed to Peter made possible. Thus, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth was magnified in Peter's ministry, also to be the name above all names and the focus of all believers. So, and our pastor quotes this, and he's done it a couple times in the last couple weeks, 2 Peter 3:18. It's a scripture etched in concrete out in the front steps. These were the last written words of Peter, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter got it. Where was his focus? He did hear him. Hear ye him. And then one more thing concerning the healing of Malchus's ear. We're not through going through what took place on that night when Jesus was arrested that led up to him going to the cross the next morning. But Jesus had some more things to say this night. He had some more things to say the next morning. And there was, by healing Malchus's ear, Jesus was making sure that there were no excuses for not being able to hear him. Now, I don't know what that would do if you lost your ear with your hearing, but there was no excuse for Malchus not to hear what Jesus had to say, or any of them that were there. And they were rabid against him, okay? 18 times in Scripture, we read the phrase, let him hear. And 15 of these times, it is Jesus himself saying, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Was he talking about these ears or these ears? The ears of your heart. The scriptural reference to let him hear speaks to the spiritual realm of hearing the word of the Lord in our spirit with our open hearts of faith. How do you hear him? How does he speak to you? Do you hear him? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Certainly, Jesus didn't want to only heal Malchus's physical ear, which he did, but to get this unruly mob also to believe in their heart that he was indeed the Messiah. Did they believe that? Of course not. Didn't look like it that night. But we must realize that all that who were there that night had already, and perhaps many times before, heard Jesus speak. And they were exactly like those found mentioned in Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. Go turn there. Isaiah 6 is a high watermark portion of Scripture, just as much as Ephesians is. In Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, we read this. I'll give you another 10 seconds to get there. Isaiah 6, 9. And he said, go tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert, that means turn to Jesus, and be healed. So important was this verse that quotations from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 are found in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. Also in Mark 4, 12. Also in Luke 8:10. Also in John 12:40. And also in Acts 28:26 and 27. And so all of these scriptures are important verses in the Word of God. So we got to realize also that many in this same collection of chief priests, captains of the temple, and elders would later down the road have other opportunities to hear with their ears such guys as Peter preach. We talked about that earlier this morning. They got to hear Stephen preach. Same people, most of them. They got to hear the Apostle Paul preach. And whether any of them ever became believers is not told us in Scripture. But they had ample opportunities. How could you witness all these things and still have a hard heart about it? Think about it. It's pretty stubborn, isn't it? Okay, go back to Luke 22, and we'll go to verse 52. Okay, so this is after Jesus has healed Malchus's ear. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Jesus asked them a question. Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. We're going to spend some time talking about this. Last week we read in Matthew 26:46 that a great multitude came out with the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders. And in John 18:3, we found that these men of the multitude came armed also with lanterns and torches and weapons. Wow, Jesus was a dangerous man, wasn't he? They had a different perception of him. And as we noted earlier, that this multitude, no matter how well armed they were, could do no harm to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had he not gave himself up. And he gave himself up for our sins. All he had to say was, I am he. And they fell backwards. He could have called 12 legions of angels. We learned last week that one angel killed 185,000 in a night. 12 legions could wipe out over 13 billion people. But it was never Jesus' intention to wipe out people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, so he gave himself up, Jesus did. This multitude, no matter how well armed they were or how well it seemed they were armed, they had no power to harm Jesus unless God gave them this power. And in Romans 13:1, we read this, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You might not like who the powers, who's in power, but it's ordained of God. I guess we're supposed to pray for them, aren't we? Well, we should be doing that. The next day in John 19:11, Jesus would tell Pilate the very same thing, and he said in John 19:11, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now, our brother Luke wrote a lot of unique things, and he's the only writer of Scripture to use the Greek word strategos. It's number 4755 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. We find it here in Luke 22:52. You also find it in Luke 22:4, and it references the captains of the temple. That's what it means. These captains of the temple were not military captains, but rather Levites. They were priests who kept the guard in and around the temple. And one of their duties was to visit the temple posts at night and make sure the sentries were on alert. Luke also mentions them in association with the rest of the kingdom apostles in Acts 4:1, which we read from earlier, also in Acts 5:24 and Acts 5:26. One of their qualities was, notice this, one of their qualities, they feared the people. Wow. They're not a tough group at all. They feared the people. But the chief priests and the scribes also did. That's noted in Luke 20, verse 19, Luke 22:2, and in Acts 5:26. For fear of the people, they feared the people. So we find here in Luke 22:52 that this group that came out against Jesus, no matter how well equipped and how well armed they were a spineless group equated by Jesus to the thief of the night who works in the power of darkness. And we're going to run out of time here, and I don't know if the bell's going to ring or not, but we'll go on a little bit. But that's what we're going to speak about, if the Lord tarries, next week. The thief of the night and the power of darkness. The word thief is found 28 times in Scripture. Of the 28, I think 13 are in the Old Testament and 15 are in the New. The number 28 is a number that points to eternal life. So what does that have to do with a thief? Well, there are 26 scriptures that mention eternal life, and 26 happens to be the number of the good news of the gospel or the number of the gospel. I'll give you two quick examples of these 26 eternal life scriptures. Romans 6:23, you know this one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And then one of the 28 times we find the word thief is in John 10:10, where Jesus tells us, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Then he mentions he's just the opposite of the thief. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And 1 John 2:25 further tells us, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So one of the things that we learn in Scripture about the thief is that they come in the night, and 1 Thessalonians 5:2 and 2 Peter 3:10 tell us the same thing. And we also find this true in our current text of Luke 22:52-53, and I'll finish after reading this. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? But when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Actually, this is a good place to stop because this is a lengthy discussion we'll have about the hour and the power of darkness. Hopefully you got something out of this morning. Thank you for being here.